We want to continue tonight where we left off this morning. It has to do with questions about speaking in tongues. I don't want to do a tremendous amount of review, but we need to do some to lead up to where we left off so that we can continue. Now, if you did not hear this morning's service, you definitely need to get a hold of it and listen. Because some of what I say tonight in this review, you might think, well, yeah, but what about? Well, it's very possible that I covered the what about this morning. But one of the questions, or the first question posed, that I posed, had to do with, it's this. Didn't tongues cease? And we took a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8, where it talks about, you know, tongues shall cease. And what I pointed out is that this teaching on the gifts of the Spirit, and specifically tongues, begins in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, and it does not conclude until chapter 14, verse 40. So it's a teaching that covers three chapters, and you have to keep it in context. You can't just take one verse and say, well, here is what it means. And along with that, Paul quoted in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 21, Paul quoted from Isaiah chapter 28. It's a prophecy about tongues. Therefore, because Isaiah was prophesying about tongues, we cannot say that Paul's teaching about the gifts and tongues in 1 Corinthians was exclusive to one church. In fact, earlier in the book of 1 Corinthians, he actually says, I'm sending Timothy. He will remind you of the things I teach, and I teach them in every church where I go. Now, that's just kind of a paraphrase of what he said. So we know then that what Paul taught about tongues that is recorded in 1 Corinthians is a teaching that he would have passed along to other churches as well. Well, then, the next question, isn't it true that tongues aren't for everyone? And people use 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 30, to either defend that belief or to explain why they are asking that question. And in verse 30 of 1 Corinthians 12, it says, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret. Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 30 has to be kept in context of this whole teaching. And again, it starts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. And Paul is talking about the gifts of the Spirit. He said, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant or remain ignorant about the gifts and their manifestation. And again, I'm paraphrasing to review. And he talks about how in verse 4 that the gifts of the Spirit are the responsibility of the Holy Spirit. In verse 5, the ministry callings or administrations are under the authority of Jesus. Well, that's confirmed over there in Ephesians where it talks about he gave gifts unto men and so forth. But then in verse 6, it talks about or makes reference to diversities of operations. But it takes place, this diversities of operations takes place as God works the gifts of the Spirit through the ministry callings. And on a broader aspect, works the gifts of the Spirit through the body of Christ, or individuals in the body of Christ, which is what he talks about beginning in verse 7, how that the manifestation of the Spirit, or the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit, that these gifts, these manifestations, are given to every man or each individual person to profit with all. And that right there is a key. To profit with all. It's not for the individual's benefit. It is for the benefit of the body of Christ. And then he begins talking about the various gifts, the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, which really you could call it supernatural faith, gifts of healing, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, diverse kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues, and all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man, each individual person, severally, as he will. So the gifts of the Spirit can manifest through different people in a congregation, in a service, but it's based upon how the Holy Spirit wants it to happen. And in verse 12, the first word is for. So this is a continuation of what he was teaching. He had said in verse 7 that the manifestation of the gifts takes place for the profit of everybody, or to profit with all, for the benefit of the entire body of Christ, because, verse 12, as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. And beginning in verse 13, he begins talking about the unity that both Jews and Gentiles have in the born-again experience, meaning there is not a separate salvation for Jew and Gentile. There is not a separate covenant. There is not a separate born-again. There is not a separate new nature or born-again spirit. It's all one spirit, one life, and originates from God through Jesus to us. And when we call upon the name of the Lord, the Holy Spirit works that regeneration work in us. And he gives the example here of the human body. And he says, look, just because, you know, the foot is a foot and it's not a hand, it can't say, well, you know, I'm not a part of the body. Just because the ear isn't a nose, it can't say, well, you know, I'm not a part of the body. If everything was an ear, then where would the rest of the function of the body be? Now, to kind of keep this simple, or to shorten it here, if everybody was used by the same way, by the Holy Spirit, then we as a church, meaning the body of Christ, would be missing something that needs to be done. That's why when the Holy Spirit moves, especially in this area of the gifts, it will happen differently with different people. And there's no guarantee that you will ever be used in the gifts of the Spirit, what we're seeing described here. And there's no guarantee that you will be used, you know, in miracles or the healings that he's talking about or the word of knowledge. As much as we would like to, there's no guarantee that's going to happen. It's all at the discretion of the Holy Spirit. And he says over here in verse 26, whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. When it comes to the gifts of the Spirit, instead of sitting back thinking, well, gee willikers, you know, why isn't God using me? I'm just as good as that person. You know, I don't know why God, you know, uses that person instead of me. I mean, I know that person. Well, yeah, God knows him better. Could be that person doesn't have the problem with pride that you have. Because when you start with that kind of an attitude, really, it's pride. I'm just as good, or I'm better, or whatever. When the gifts of the Spirit manifest, it shouldn't matter to us. We should be rejoicing that somebody was used of God in a manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit because we benefited. Doesn't it say to profit with all? So when the gifts manifest through this person over here, then we should, you know, well, praise God. Well, yeah, but the gift, it wasn't a word of knowledge and it wasn't a prophecy. It just, you know, Susie got healed. Well, praise God. My sister got healed. Think of it like this. In the human body, if your little toe is banged up, is the rest of your body happy? Do your ears wiggle in rejoicing? Ooh, little toe got masked. Yeah, woo. No, that's just plain silly. We want that little toe healed, do we not? And when the little toe gets healed, don't we, our whole body gets happy? Yay, little toe, I can walk again. Hallelujah. Well, that's kind of a silly way of explaining it. But when Sister Susie gets healed, then praise God, a part of the body of Christ has been healed, and I should rejoice. I should be happy. When you know, Brother Bob receives a word of knowledge, well, praise God for that, because that ultimately is for him to be more effective in the body of Christ. So when these gifts manifest, instead of complaining, why not me, rejoice that it took place. Rejoice in this. And he says in verse 27, now you're the body of Christ and members in particular, and God has set some in the church, apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, which corresponds with the ministry of the evangelist, gifts, plural, of healings, plural, which corresponds to the pastor, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all worker of miracles? No, 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 and no. Have all the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? This is not a reference to tongues by itself. It's a reference to tongues for interpretation. So does the Holy Spirit move on everybody for tongues? And does He move on everybody for interpretation? No, He doesn't. And it isn't that God is more highly esteeming somebody, or He thinks that they are better than someone else. It's just a decision that was made by God. Why did He make the decision? I don't know. I don't know what the criteria is for any given service. But verse 30 is talking about speaking with tongues for interpretation. So no, not everybody is used in tongues for interpretation, and not everybody is used to interpret the tongues. But you'll notice in verse 28, it talks about, you know, the apostles, the prophets, the teachers, and so forth. Then it gets down to diversities of tongues. The only one that is identified as having diversities or different manifestations is tongues. You don't have diversities of apostles. You don't have diversities of teachers. You have diversities of tongues. So then that brings up a question. We have identified in verse 30 that the tongues spoken of there are tongues for interpretation. But verse 28 says there are diversities of tongues, meaning there are more manifestations of tongues than simply tongues for interpretation. So in order for me to understand whether or not tongues are for everyone, I need to understand the various diversities or manifestations of the operation of tongues. Well, there are essentially four manifestations of tongues. One would be a sign for the unbeliever. Now, you leave your finger here in 1 Corinthians, or a marker or something. Turn back to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And here in Acts chapter 2, it says, when the day of Pentecost, verse 1, was fully come, they, all of the followers of Jesus, who were in the upper room, about 120 of them, they were all with one accord in one place. And then suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews. Now this is the feast of Pentecost. It's very important to remember this. It's the feast of Pentecost. This was like a super major holiday for the Jews, and they were required, I think it was like if you lived within what we would say 50 miles of Jerusalem, you had to show up. That's just the way it was if you were a Jew. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. They had come in for the feast. Now when this was noised abroad, when what was noised abroad? What had just happened, upper room, rushing mighty wind. When this was noised abroad, the multitude, what multitude? Well, these people in verse 5, from all these different nations, word spread, folks began showing up. There was a TV show recently about the book of Acts, and they portrayed this event, and the multitude that they showed on the TV program looked like it was about maybe 60 people or something. I'm thinking, seriously, can't you read? I mean, just open it up and look. Do a better job. I don't care if you have to use computer-generated graphics. You know, do it right. Well, anyway, the multitude came together. They were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, dwellers in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, Libya, Cyrene, strangers of Rome, Jews, proselytes, Cretes, Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? It doesn't say that these guys were speaking in each one of those languages. It said that the people heard them in their languages. So here you have these people speaking in tongues, and this guy over here says, Well, they're speaking in Arabian. Another person says, No, they're speaking in Mesopotamian. Then another person says, No, they're speaking in Cretan. Okay, I'm just for emphasis here, I'm making these things up. That's not exactly how you pronounce that stuff, but you get the idea. Everybody's hearing them, and then they look at each other and they say, Well, we don't understand. What is this? And then some people who were kind of stupid, others, verse 13 said, These men are full of new wine. Now listen, before I gave my life to Jesus Christ, I had some serious bouts of, let's just say, highly involved alcohol consumption. And I'm telling you right now, not one time ever in my life when I got drunk did I start speaking in Russian or Chinese or Mesopotamian. It never happened. Ever. So this right here, this mocking thing, it still goes on today. Just from a different perspective. Well, then, you know, Peter gets up and he begins explaining, no, this is a fulfillment of prophecy. Now, turn back over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So, we have the manifestation of tongues as a sign to the unbeliever. A second manifestation is tongues for intercessional prayer, what some people would call travailing in the Spirit. That's when you begin, you're praying in tongues, but then it's like a wailing can begin to come forth. It's like there's no pain, but it's like God is moving through an individual with a tremendous burden for the lost or the sick or the whatever it would be. And so this person is interceding in that aspect. A third manifestation, tongues for interpretation, what we've already spoken about here in 1 Corinthians 12. But then this fourth manifestation, it's tongues for personal edification, or what some people refer to as tongues for prayer language. Now, technically, there can be a fifth category, and it's in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15, where the Apostle Paul says, What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, or pray in tongues, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. I'll sing in tongues and sing with the understanding. The thing is, when you are singing in tongues, you're not saying something outside of the order of edification. It will be a worship in the Spirit, but it's going to be for the purpose of an edification. And it could also be as a sign for the unbeliever. You sing in tongues, somebody else hears you singing in Chinese. So it fits into these four categories, if you will. So it's not a separate manifestation per se. Let's put it like this. It's praying in tongues, set to music. Maybe that's a little oversimplified, but I'm hoping you understand this process. All right, now, number one, tongues for a sign for the unbeliever. Two, tongues for intercessional prayer. Three, tongues for interpretation. These are totally at the discretion of the Holy Spirit. You simply cannot at any time do any of those three on your own. Now, you can try. But if the Holy Spirit isn't moving for this to happen, then it's not going to happen. But this fourth one, the tongues for personal edification or praying in tongues, this is a gift that is given from the Holy Spirit for the ongoing benefit of the individual. To understand this, you have to find out from Scripture what are the benefits of praying in tongues. When I pray in tongues, that is for my benefit, not for yours, though ultimately you do profit, because as I am benefiting from praying in tongues, what change takes place in me benefits the body of Christ. So you ultimately do benefit in that respect. But let's take a look at the benefits of praying in tongues. We're not going to spend a whole long time on any of these. They're very self-explanatory. We're going to start in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. While you're turning over there, remember I shared this morning that these notes that I'm using, I've laid them out in a way to where if you want a copy, you can get a copy. Use it for your benefit, because this morning's message and the message tonight is really to help you be able to answer anybody and explain to them if they should come and say, well, didn't tongues cease? Or, well, I'm not so sure tongues are for everybody. You should be able to get to the point where you don't even need these notes. You can just go to these passages of Scripture and just say, okay, well now, you know, do you see this here in the Bible? All right, well, let's talk about what it says here. So anyway, in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, likewise the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to God, or according to the will of God. The reason it says according to God and the will of is in italics, because the prayer that's coming through you by the ministry of the Holy Spirit is under the direction of God. Remember, Jesus said the Holy Spirit will not speak of himself. He will only speak what he hears. So as you're praying in tongues, again, the imagery is this. God's telling the Holy Spirit what to pray through you, what the tongues to give you for that prayer. Now, what we see here in Romans 8:26 is that praying in tongues gets us to the place to where we know, understand, and are prepared to carry out the will of God for me. For me. I'm edifying, I'm building myself, I'm understanding this concept of what the will of God is, and then really along with that, where it says we don't know what we should pray for as we ought. You ever been there? I just don't know how to pray. I've had people contact me, I don't know how to pray. How should I pray about this? Well, here's how. What you're telling me, what you're asking is, how do I pray with the understanding about this? And it's not wrong to want to know. Really, it's not. But the Holy Spirit is saying there are going to be times when you don't know how to pray. So the more that you pray in tongues is the more you're praying about things that you otherwise would not know how to pray for. And a lot of that has to do with the will of God for your life. Now look in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue, and this speaketh, you could say praying, you're praying to God. He that speaketh or prayeth in an unknown tongue speaketh or prayeth not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. So what we see in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2, is that when I'm praying in tongues, I am speaking to God. I am not speaking to anybody else. And I'm speaking in, you know, His language, not yours. I am in communication with God. I'm speaking with Him. But along with that, it says that I am speaking mysteries, or I'm praying mysteries. Well, what that means is I'm praying out those things which are mysteries, such as the understanding of Scripture, the will of God. Essentially, those things that we find confusing. You understand what I mean by that? In other words, when it comes to these things, well, I just don't understand this passage of Scripture. Well, the more you pray in tongues, the more the understanding of Scripture begins to take place. The more you come to learn how to break down Scripture, the more that the Holy Spirit is able to help you understand things that you do not understand. In Timothy, it says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All Scripture is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, righteousness, and so forth. If all Scripture is given, that means I ought to be able to understand it. Otherwise, how can I benefit from what it's supposed to do? So if I'm reading the Bible, I'm thinking, well, I don't understand. That's just a mystery. Well, you know what? There are just some things in the Word of God we won't understand till we're up in heaven. Well, then why'd God give it to me? I mean, if I can't understand it while I'm down here, it is definitely not profitable. I need to know what it means now. Well, until I know, guess what? It's a mystery. So as I'm praying in tongues, I am praying these mysteries. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. Edifieth, builds himself up, works a personal inner construction. This is spiritual edification. Another way to say that, he that speaketh or prays in an unknown tongue produces spiritual maturity within. Produces spiritual maturity within. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. So I might be fluent in 15 different earthly languages. But when I am praying in tongues, my understanding is unfruitful. I do not know the words I'm praying. I do not understand. I can't comprehend unless, you know, the Holy Spirit tells me what I'm praying. But the first part of this, when I'm praying in tongues, my spirit is praying. So praying in tongues enables me to pray directly out of my born-again spirit, bypassing my mental reasoning. And let's face it, a lot of times when we pray, we're trying to figure out, you know, how can I pray? And then sometimes we pray and we doctor the prayer to try to get God to do something for us. We're trying to manipulate Him, okay? You know, we don't want to admit to it, but that's sometimes the way it goes. But when I'm praying out of my spirit, when I'm praying in tongues, I'm praying directly out of my spirit to God. Direct spiritual interaction with God. Now back up in verse 4. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. Now what is prophecy? It's not simply, in 3 days, such and such. Prophesieth can include the foretelling of future events, but it is delivering the mind of God for a given situation, such as a sermon. It is delivering what God wants spoken at a particular time and place. Now notice, I pray in tongues and I get edified. But then when I turn around and prophesy, I edify the church. Now, I'm not going to go into all of this, but from verse 4 on through here, for several verses, he explains, I pray in tongues so that I can turn around and teach you out of how I've been edified. And he says, what good does it do you if I spend all this time praying in tongues but then never declare to you what it is that the Holy Spirit has revealed to me? Now we see, take your time and read later on, read on beyond verse 4 in 1 Corinthians 14. However, we see a reference to this back in chapter 2. So turn over there, chapter 2, and beginning in verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. All right, well, we just learned when we pray in tongues, we're praying out the mysteries of God, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. So it was hidden for a long time, but God meant for us to come to the place of knowing and understanding it, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But, as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. What we just read over there in Romans chapter 8, how the Holy Spirit searches the heart and so forth, knows the mind of the Spirit. So think of verse 10 like this. God reveals things to us on a spiritual level, not an intellectual level. And it's by virtue of our interaction with the Holy Spirit that God is able to convey this information to our spirit. For, verse 11, what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. So my spirit is the first stop for the knowledge of the things of God as given to me by the Holy Spirit. Now, verse 12, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. Now, he's not talking about the Holy Spirit, which is of God. He's talking about your born-again spirit. That's why it's not capitalized. I mean, for once, they got it right. It's your born-again spirit, that new man. We have not received the spirit of the world, that lost sin nature, but the born-again spirit, the new man, the new nature, the new creation spirit, if you will, which is of God, so that we might know, comprehend, fully understand, grasp, realize, and get it straight, the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. In other words, as I'm praying in tongues, the Holy Spirit is comparing the spiritual things of God with my spiritual condition and teaching me in the process. Then I turn around and I begin to deliver unto you those things which the Holy Spirit has revealed and taught me, revealed to and taught me. This takes us back into chapter 14, where he talks about, if I pray in tongues, I'm edifying myself, but when I prophesy, I'm edifying the church. So we're seeing in chapter 14 another way of discussing or explaining what he says here, what he's talking about in chapter 2. Now look over in Jude. Jude chapter 1, the only chapter there. And in verse 20, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, how? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. So as I am praying in tongues, I'm building myself up on my most holy faith, and the just shall live by faith. I'm building myself up on what the Word has been producing in me. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So as I pray in tongues, I'm building myself up on the Word. I'm building myself up on that which brings kingdom results in this world. But notice in verse 21, as I'm praying in tongues, keep yourself... Well, in fact, let's read verse 20 again. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. As I'm praying in tongues, I'm keeping myself in the love of God. Well, look back over in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And in verse 5, it says, hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. How? By the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So as I pray in tongues, I'm keeping myself in the love of God, and the love of God is being, as it says here, shed abroad in my hearts. Said differently, as I pray in tongues, God's love begins dominating my life and dominating my decisions and my attitudes and my everything. Now, it's a process. All of this is a process. However, every one of these that we have read, now there's eight that were listed here that I read to you. All eight of these, they are directly associated with a work being performed by God in the born-again spirit of a Christian, not in that person's mind. Now, the mind benefits. Ultimately, we know that. You can't say it doesn't. However, there is nothing in Scripture anywhere. I mean, you can read from Matthew to Revelation. There's nothing in Scripture anywhere indicating that a Christian can do something by his own effort in the natural involving human intellect that is an equal substitute for what praying in tongues produces. There's nothing in Scripture. Now, praying with the understanding, is there benefit? Absolutely. Is there benefit to other things that we can do? Well, absolutely. But all of these things that we see associated with praying in tongues, it's in there for a reason. God is saying, look, if you want this result, then pray in tongues. If you want to see this begin to happen in your life, you pray in tongues. Well, what's the opposite? If you don't pray in tongues, you don't get it. You know, a kind of a extremely simple illustration. You say, I've got a can of beans, and I want those beans. That's my beans, my can. Well, you know what? If I don't open the can, I can't get to the beans. So I have to open the can. Now, I can fuss and complain and say, that's just not right. Why should I go through all that? I just want the beans, man. Just, you know, what's the deal with this can? It just won't give me my beans. It's like, well, here, take the opener and use it. Oh, that's stupid. What are you, you know, drunk on wine? Come on. Can openers aren't for today. They died out with the apostles. I just want my beans, man. You have to use what's necessary to get the can open. And the only thing that's going to get that can open is some kind of a can opener. Now, that's just the way it is. You know, if you don't want to stink, what do you have to do? Well, you know, you can go through your deodorant and you know, every day just put another layer on there. But eventually, that deodorant's going to cave in. It's like, I'm sorry, dude, you have gone beyond my abilities. So what are you going to have to do? You got to wash, right? Now, if all you do is get into the shower and get wet and get out, you're only delaying the inevitable. Now, believe it or not, there are people in the world who don't use soap. That's all they do. And you'll know it when you get around them. If you want to get rid of it, you got to wash it off and you got to use soap all over. It's very simple. Well, I don't want to stink. Well, you got to use soap. Well, that's heresy. No, it's not. It's common sense. Use the soap, dude. You stink. Nobody wants to be around you. Simple illustrations, but illustrations we all understand. If you want these benefits identified by God in His Word associated with praying in tongues, you have to pray in tongues. And you're the one that's in charge. You don't have to wait for goosey bumps up and down your spine. Paul made reference, when I will pray in tongues. I will pray with the Spirit. That is a decision on the part of the individual. And it's all about praying. It's not about, you know, I will speak in tongues for interpretation. No, you won't. We can try, but it's up to the Holy Ghost. But you can pray in the Spirit as often as you want. Now, all these benefits that we've seen here about the will of God and speaking directly to God and edification, you know, all of these things, all of these eight that we identified, the fact is, it is God's desire for all of these things to take place in the life of a believer. Why would He not want these things to happen? Why wouldn't He want you to know His will? Why wouldn't He? Why wouldn't He want you to understand the mysteries? Why wouldn't He? If it's to our benefit. Therefore, all of these things that we've identified, all eight, this is God's desire that they will take place in the life of every single believer. All of His children, every single one of them. Therefore, the only conclusion is that praying in tongues is for everyone, every single Christian. However, this gift, the gift of praying in tongues, is not forced on anybody. It's totally up to the believer, the Christian, to receive this gift by faith without mentally trying to analyze the process which results in creating a hindrance to receiving. You receive by faith. That's how you got born again. You receive by faith. The biggest stumbling block, and I'm telling you right now, the number one stumbling block is the mind. It's the mind. Well, what do I say? What do you mean, what do you say? What am I supposed to say? How do you expect me to answer a question like that? It's in tongues. It's in a language no human understands, and you're asking me what you're supposed to say? I don't know. And so what I do is I try to simplify it, and I'll say things like, well, you know, you just start making these sounds. Well, what kind of sounds? Tongues sounds. I don't know what to tell you. And so what I do, I just tell folks, look, you know, you've got to lay your mind down. You can't analyze it. You're talking about something that comes from God. I just don't understand. All right, do you believe God created the world? Well, yeah. I mean, do you believe He created the heavens and the earth? He created everything. Oh, well, yeah, I believe that. Oh, how did He do it? Well, He spoke. Yeah, He spoke. That's what we're trying to get you to do. He spoke. He spoke. All right, well, so what? He spoke. Then what happened? Well, everything came into existence. How? When the words left His mouth, how did you end up with a giant ball of dirt that we live on? How did it happen? Well, I don't know. Well, come on, you're the person supposed to figure these things out. You know, you don't want to believe it until you can figure it out. You can't figure that out, but you believe it. But when it comes to this other about tongues, you know, you want a formula? There is no formula. Absolutely not. When you pray in tongues, basically what you do is you say, you know, dear Lord Jesus, you're my Lord and Savior. If you're born again, you are a candidate for this. And I ask you to fill me with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I receive you into my life now. And I ask you to give me the gift of praying in tongues. I choose to receive that gift from you right now. And I refuse to allow my mind to interfere. I accept this gift. And I'm going to pray in tongues. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Martin, what did you say? I don't know.
Isn't there supposed to be an interpretation?
Not when you're giving an illustration. You want an interpretation? Let me make one up. Speak in tongues. I'm being silly, all right? That's what you do. And your mind starts screaming out, why, you're just making it up. No, you're not. You're using your human energy. You have to. The Holy Ghost, this is not like a Stephen King movie, okay? Where just stuff starts happening. You know, this isn't The Shining. Here's Johnny. This is... Only the people who've seen the movie know what I am talking about. This is a miracle of God. But you have to use your breath, your lungs, your tongue, your vocal cords, your human energy to move your mouth, but you're not producing the language you know. You're making these sounds. Sometimes I like to describe it, it's going to sound like baby talk. It's going to sound like gibberish. But what happens is, when you take that step of faith to begin making those sounds, it may not sound like me. It may not sound like anybody you've ever heard. However, what happens is the Holy Ghost, He works that miracle, and that language of heaven begins coming out. And you are edifying yourself. And God has ordained that when it comes to praying in tongues, you are permitted to do that anytime you want. Because of all the benefits associated with it. Now, if you don't pray in tongues, you know, God will use you as much as He can. And God will, you're still going to make it to heaven. Tongues doesn't get you to heaven, all right? You have to be born again for that. However, if you don't pray in the Spirit, you're not going to get all those benefits that God describes in His Word. Forget about what I've said. Consider what is recorded in Scripture. If you begin praying in tongues, all eight of what I identified in the Bible, those things begin happening in your life. Change begins to take place. Now, guys, I'm telling you, as I stand here, if it weren't for praying in tongues and the change that that kind of prayer produces in a person, I would not be here tonight ministering. I would not. Praying in tongues has gotten me to where I am in God and His call on my life. Now, there are other things too, meditating in Scripture, and, worship, all these things that we talk about, but we're focusing on tongues tonight. Tongues is what you could call a revelation gift. It is a teaching gift. It is, it's everything we read about tonight in the Word of God. So therefore, it's the choice of an individual, because just like with salvation, God has made it available to every person who wants it. Go ahead and stand. Now, as far as I know, everybody in this room is filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of praying in tongues. But we have folks watching. And I don't know, maybe you're not. So I'm going to lead in a prayer to be filled with the Holy Spirit and receive the gift of tongues. And the folks here in the congregation are going to pray along with me. Now, it's possible you might be with somebody or with a group, and maybe you're a little intimidated because of the other people there. Well, I understand that. I really do, and so does God. So, it doesn't have to be a big production thing. I mean, you can just kind of whisper this. But the key is to receive what God has said in His Word, and then to do this. And you can also do this completely by yourself. It doesn't have to take place, in a congregational setting. But nevertheless, I'm going to lead in this prayer, and you just pray along with me if indeed you want to receive this gift from the Holy Spirit. So just pray this. Dear Lord Jesus, You are my Savior, and I thank You that I am born again. As it's recorded in Scripture, I ask You to baptize me with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I receive You into my life right now. And I ask You to give to me the gift of praying in tongues. I choose to receive that gift from You. And even though my mind does not fully understand it, I declare right now, my mind and my human reasoning will not stand in the way of me receiving this gift. So I receive it from You now, and I will pray in tongues. In Jesus' name, amen. Just go ahead wherever you are. Just begin to pray in tongues. Doesn't have to be really loud. It can be just a whisper. But just begin to do this. And don't worry about what it sounds like. Now keep praying. Just keep praying in tongues. And as you're praying in tongues, you can listen to what I'm saying. The more that you pray in tongues is the more that all of these benefits I've discussed from the Word of God will take place in your life. Begin to make it a habit to pray in tongues as much as you can. Pray in tongues while you're taking your shower. Again, it can be barely a whisper that's coming out. It doesn't have to be loud and where everybody can hear it. While you're driving down the street, you can pray in tongues and your lips are barely moving to where people really won't know what you're doing, but it's edifying. It's edifying. It's edifying. Remember, it is your spirit interacting directly with God, so your mind can be occupied doing other things, such as driving or even reading your Bible. So pray in tongues as much as you can. If you do not have a copy of Dave Roberson's book, Walk of the Spirit, Walk of Power, if you'll contact us, we can send a copy to you, no charge, or you can go directly to his website right now, daveroberson.org, and download a copy in PDF format, no charge. Have it right there on your computer, your reader, or whatever it is that you use, so that you can begin reading. That book goes into so much more detail about the benefits of praying in tongues than what I've been able to cover here in this message tonight.